We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Well, I will say this on this Monday. It's not Sturge, and it's not Willie P. It's Josh Phillips back in the studio after a 3.5-month hiatus in which we were trying to win a few football games. And, you know, we won some here or there, and now the season's over. Believe me, I'd much rather be chasing a state championship in the playoffs, but our season has ended. And I am here filling in for Mark Sturgis. And let me say this first before we get started. I hope everybody out there will keep Mark in his prayers. If there's a human being on this planet that's had a worse last 5 or 6 years, by all means, send him to us. The family situations that he's had to deal with, the sicknesses that he's had to deal with his beautiful wife, Teresa, and then the stroke that Mark had to endure, and then about a week and a half ago, Mrs. Sturgis, Mark's mom, passed away. So keep the Sturgis family and Mark in your prayers and thoughts. Send him a good tweet. Encourage him. Everybody needs a little encouragement.
Absolutely.
From time to time, and I know he would love to hear from you. But keep the big man in your thoughts and prayers, and because we love him and we want him back as soon as possible.
Absolutely.
I'm joined over here with my main man Diddy. Diddy set in for Mark Ryan, who is battling some health issues as well, and keep Mark in your thoughts and prayers as well. Diddy, I listened to a little bit of the show. Me and you talked a little bit about the Myles Garrett situation. I know one of the things I'm going to talk about, I'm going to get into the South Carolina situation. Yeah. I know that's dear to your heart. I'm going to get into the college football playoff rankings, which is near and dear to a lot of people's hearts. I'm going to get into the big games that are coming up this week, because I definitely think there is a team that is on upset alert.
Uh-oh.
That I'm getting ready to go off and blast a little bit later in the show. That being said, your Gamecocks, Diddy.
Yep.
Right now, I know the word dumpster fire is going around. Let me caution.
I said that was too nice.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to give you a ray of hope.
Okay.
As an Arkansas fan, I'm going to give all the South Carolina fans hope. You are not.
Chad Morris is available.
You are not a dumpster fire. You're having a bad season. If you want to see a dumpster fire, look at the University of Arkansas.
Yeah.
You want to talk about incompetency from the administration all the way to the AD, but that's another issue.
I don't think I would have called it a dumpster fire before this week, but the Carlson saying we talked to FSU and then saying, oh, no, just kidding, we didn't do that, and then this guy getting fired for fighting a fake Muschamp, I'm like, oh, my God, what's going on down there?
Yeah, the president, I think the president, Caslin, is a little overwhelmed. I'm sure he hasn't had to deal with the amount of media at Army.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how many media requests he has gotten to answer about his head coach. Welcome to the South. Welcome to the SEC, Bob Caslin. Welcome to South Carolina.
Sorry for my dyslexia. I always say Carlson for some reason.
Yeah. Will Muschamp, you want to keep him? You want to fire him? Because don't let my opinion sway you. I think they need to keep him. I think he needs to make staff changes, specifically on offense. He needs to fire Brian McClendon. He needs to get rid of Bobby Bentley. Both of them are hamstringing him from a program standpoint. He needs to reassign Dan Warner or get rid of him too. There's only two guys on Carolina's staff I would keep, and that's Eric Wolford, the offensive line coach, and Thomas Brown, the running back coach. The rest of them I would 86 up the river.
Just the offensive side.
Correct.
Yeah. I'd keep the defense, of course.
Yeah, the defense is fine.
We had a caller. We just had a caller, didn't give me his name, said he was driving, he couldn't get on the air with us and talk. He said, sure. Try being a Rutgers grad married to a Clemson grad. I mean, that's complete opposite end of the spectrum. That's...
That might have been a friend of mine. Sorry, Justin. I know. I know your pain. That's awesome. That's okay. I'm a South Carolina grad dating a Clemson grad, so I'm almost there. It's not easy.
Why would you do that to yourself?
I know, I've done it multiple times. It just happens.
And it's not even the fact that she's a Clemson grad. Why would you date somebody whose program is that much better than yours?
Maybe to live vicariously? I don't know.
You can always switch your allegiances.
So at least I have that.
Well, you got it balanced out. There you go. There you go. So what do you want to do with your Gamecocks?
Man, you know, the issue with me is that I agree with something that was talked about on game day last Saturday, and I talked about this earlier in Offsides, that they talked about the fact that if you're not winning by the end of year three, you're not going to in major college football, in the FBS, and the way we have it set up. And I kind of believe that because it's very rare that you ever see full success come when you start off as bad as we've seen so far. And yeah, we had a good year two. Got the bowl win over Michigan, but outside of that, it really hasn't been all that great in the 4 years of Muschamp, and we're sitting in year four, which is obviously beyond that year three, and he's about to be 4-8. You know, let's not beat around the bush here. They're losing next Saturday. It's just going to happen. So 4-8 in year four, when I'm being told by the experts that you don't win if you don't win by year three, why are we going to sit here and be patient for year five now? What's even going to change? What can he even do to change this? Because he couldn't do it at Florida, and so far he's failed every year here.
I completely agree that there needs to be massive personnel changes, but how come not one South Carolina fan has admitted, yeah, we've had the most horrific season of injuries we could possibly have, and that cuts him some slack? No one's given him any slack whatsoever for that.
You can't keep regurgitating the same excuses. That was his reasoning last year. Last year, we were bad because they had so many injuries and they didn't have enough depth to replace it. This year, we came into a season being told this is the best talent Muschamp's ever had, ever, including his years at Florida. It's the deepest team he's ever had, and the depth will beat, you know, will make the difference up for what they were lacking last year. And we've seen an even worse turnaround this year with all of that supposed talent and depth. They were the 17th ranked by FPI on ESPN.com before the season. 17th ranked team in the country by talent. And they're 4-8 this year when they lose next week. It's just unforgivable.
Yeah, and when you see, and, you know, of course, I'm going to do something that aggravates a lot of people because, you know me, I like to aggravate people. But I said,
just thinking back to the Aaron Rodgers conversation.
Yeah, okay. Believe me, I'm getting to them, too. Cam Newton's on the chopping block,
yep,
too. I'm coming after him, too.
Get him.
You know, when they got rid of Kurt Roper, I came on this station and I said, whichever way Will Muschamp goes, it's going to be a career legacy-defining hire. And I laid out about three names that I thought he needed to hire. And he totally went the other way.
Yep.
And I think a lot of this, when you look at his career, he has made a mess of his offensive staff no matter where he's been.
Exactly.
He hired Charlie Weiss at Florida, which was a complete catastrophe. I can't remember the guy before him, but he exited stage right. He seems...
Then he had Roper the last year at Florida, Roper got fired together, brought him here.
And then brought him to South Carolina. That's exactly right. And then now he's repeated that same mistake. Now, do I think Will Muschamp needs to be fired? Absolutely not. And the reason I say that is when you see where this program – here's my question. Okay, you want to fire him. Who are you going to get that's better from a recruiting standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, from a moving the thing forward? And make no mistake about it. I'm not trying to say that this has been a great year. It's not. 4-8 is bad, and however you want to put it up with. But it's not as bad. The program is in better shape than when he got there, and the recruiting part of it – and I'm telling you this as a lifelong Arkansas fan, you do not want to get into the mold of where you're constantly turning over coaches, because then you're not going to be able to beat Western Kentucky and San Jose State.
Yeah, that's rough. That is rough. But in fairness on that, like, South Carolina's never fired coaches. So, like, you know, Spurrier retired, basically. He quit. But he had quit 2 years before that in the recruiting trail anyway. So he was already on the way out. Lou Holtz retired. Everybody else has just left. There hasn't been this turnover of coaches. So it's not – I don't feel like this is something that if they do this, it's going to, you know, send this message that, oh, this is a school that just likes to fire people, because there's no history of them ever doing it before. So this will be a first-time thing. I just – it's so hard to think that this is going to get any better. And my only thought, because it can't get any better, is that it can only get worse. You know, we were 3-9 the year before he came, so it can be worse than 4-8. They were 0-11 back in 99, so it can. And he said yesterday he's going to take this program somewhere they've never been. Yeah, well, they've never been 0-12, and let's not go there. I don't want to keep going backwards. And maybe there's not a guy who on paper looks like a better option than Will Muschamp right now, but I think there's a lot of guys, especially in the Group of Five level, that are hungry, young, smart, attractive coaching hires that can start from scratch at a program with this type of facilities, this type of abilities that South Carolina has, the alumni base, the fan support, the facilities in town, all of that stuff, and turn South Carolina into a powerhouse with what they have. We keep retreading older coaches that have a different mentality of football that just isn't working anymore, and it's showing to fail. I mean, Spurrier got us to the newest heights of all time, but he never once won the SEC, never once made a BCS bowl game. So if we're going to try to be taken as seriously as the rest of the SEC, somebody's got to take us to that level, and retreading coaches is never going to take us to that level.
Well, that's why, and people need to remember this, Dabo Swinney won the ACC, went to the Orange Bowl, and got beat by 70 points by West Virginia.
Yeah.
See, people forget that. And then what did he do? He said, you know what, which Clemson struggled somewhat offensively, yeah, and he said, you know what, we've got to revamp this thing. I've got to think outside the box. Let me make the changes I need to make, and let me do my due diligence. Will Muschamp, and I know Carolina people hate when you say they need to follow something that Clemson does, but when you've had the success that they've had, and you're 90 miles away, prudence demands that you say, okay, well, they're doing something right.
Of course.
Okay, so I'm going to repeat what I said before. When you're at places like South Carolina, at Arkansas, places that are competing against the Floridas, the Georgias, you have to do something different. You can't do – see, I think a lot of Coach Muschamp's problem is he's trying to be Alabama 2.0 at South Carolina.
It's all Saban mentality.
Correct.
Yeah.
He needs to go the opposite direction, and he needs to hire a Big 12 offensive coordinator that is going to put the ball in playmakers' hands. I watched South Carolina against App State, and I looked over at my girlfriend, and I said, they're going to lose to App State tonight. And she went, what? I said, App State is a dang good football team. And I said, they're getting ready to get punched in the mouth. And their offense is, it's so uncreative.
Yep.
It's so bland. It's literally like watching paint dry.
Yeah.
Now, you couple that with the fact that Brian Edwards is hurt. Apparently, they don't know that DeCarrion Joyner runs 4-4. Because they refused to get him on the field and get him the ball.
Wasn't he the number one athlete?
Correct.
Coming out of high school.
Coming out of high school.
Dual threat quarterback.
Okay, why isn't that guy on the field? Where has Shy Smith been?
Yeah.
A 4-3 guy. And I look over and he's holding a helmet on the sideline.
Yep.
And to me, their best running back is Kevin Harris, who I said that when they got the kid out of Georgia, I thought he was undervalued. But there are pieces in place that this football team is better than 4-8, and I'm with you. Here's the thing, and Mark Ryan's going to owe me a Hale's Chop House dinner because of our bet that got started.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the bet?
But it was that he wouldn't get fired by the end of next year, right?
No, he said South Carolina would beat Clemson.
That's
this year. So when he first got here. So I'm going to remind him 9 months later.
Fair.
I gave him 14 points. Well, then he took it. Well, now he's coming to task next week, but being that as it may, you've got to do something different. Yeah. You know, Kendall Briles, don't be afraid of the Briles name and penalize the kid for the mistakes of the dad.
For sure.
He's a bright offensive mind. I think he's done a tremendous job with Florida State. But Coach Muschamp, if they give him a second chance, like Dabo recognized that the offense wasn't working and I need to revamp the whole thing. And he brought in Chad Morris, who he didn't even know. Well, sometimes as a leader, you've got to get outside your comfort zone to do what it takes to get to the next level. And that's what's going to define Will Muschamp's career at South Carolina.
Absolutely.
Diddy, thank you so much for stay the whole show. I'd love to have you. I know you got to go.
I wish I got to go celebrate some things with the girlfriend. So I'll be back tomorrow.
Awesome.
I'll be 1 to 4, and I'll see you for the crossover.
You got it. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back into the second segment of the first hour on this Monday, November the 21st. Can you believe it's already November? This year.
Christmas is going to be here in like 3 days.
Oh, unbelievable. Next week's Turkey Day.
Yeah.
Obviously, by appearances, my favorite holiday. Okay. I love Thanksgiving because you can tell I love to eat. And Thanksgiving is a smorgasbord for all of us fat guys. You know, Diddy was talking about, you know, how Lonzo pitching the Health Dare Weight Challenge. You know, Health Dare would make a killing in advertising if they could get me and Diddy under whatever we weighed at the truck weight thing the other day. But
I'm just trying to imagine Josh Phillips going shopping after Thanksgiving. Because I know all you want to do is sit and watch football.
That's
all you want to do. So I'm imagining that look on your face when your girlfriend or your daughters or somebody like that is dragging you around, making you go up and down the aisles at Kohl's. God, that look on your face.
Yeah, I'm not into the whole Black Friday, get out after Thanksgiving, go shopping, try to catch a deal. I'm like the furthest thing from that, but obviously we've got to do it each and every day. What are your plans for Thanksgiving there, Diesel?
I'm going to take the girlfriend up and we're going to hang out with the family.
Awesome.
Her parents are in New Mexico now. They moved out there and they're coming for Christmas. So they'll be around here then, but we're going up to my parents on Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's awesome.
That means it's getting real when you're taking her up to see the parents. She went up to see my parents last year for Thanksgiving. So it's not like it's a new thing.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, is it good or is it bad? I don't know.
It's good.
Okay.
It's good. I mean, have you seen the dating world out there? I'm sure you have some idea of what it's like. I try to stay out.
It's
awful. It's awful.
I try to stay out of it.
You know how bad Twitter is? Like, Tinder's worse.
What is Tinder?
Tinder's the dating hookup app.
She's over here laughing at me because I said, what is Tinder? I don't know.
It's so bad.
What is it?
It's like a hookup website. Or it's not a website. It's an app. I don't know if they have a website, but it's an app. And you just look at somebody and you swipe left, swipe right. And the idea is you're supposed to be as vulgar and as you can be to try to get their attention, to get them to swipe right on you.
Well, obviously, I'm not the only one that doesn't know what Tinder is. Neither does the South Carolina offensive staff, because they can't score even with the Tinder app. That being said, let me get to some of these texts, because I always get behind on these. Texter gets in and says, JT and Greer says, have you ever thought the offense may be bad because of Will Muschamp meddling in it? And on the recruiting front, if you can't coach him up, then you need to find a coach that can. JT and Greer, appreciate your thoughts. Look, you know, I keep hearing about how Coach Muschamp interferes with the offense and all that. I don't know how much validity there is to that, because when I watch the games, I don't see him standing beside Brian McClendon or yelling into his microphone when the offense has the ball. So I don't know if that's something that followed him from Florida. I know he did at Florida, but I don't get a sense that he's meddling as much in the offense now. He's trying to let his coaches coach. And I will say this, as the head coach, he has the right to do whatever he wants. I mean, if he wants to call every play on offense and he wants to call every play on defense, as the head coach, he's got that prerogative. I don't know where these people get off thinking that the coordinators own their side of the ball. They're there because the head man hired them.
Yeah, they are assistants.
Exactly.
They're not head coaches. They're assistant coaches.
You know, that's why I get so annoyed when I hear Herb Street and those guys on television talk about so-and-so's offense. That's the coordinator. I'm like, no, it's not. He's not the head coach. It's not his butt on the line if the thing doesn't work. So I definitely think that he's got to make changes again. Hopefully this time he will think outside the box. Because, look, South Carolina is better than from a talent standpoint. I mean, Javon Kinlaw is going to be a first-round draft pick. Bryan Edwards, probably as deep as a wide receiver class is this year, and because of his injuries, he'll probably slip into the second or third round, but he's definitely going to get a nice contract. There's some offensive linemen that I think is pretty good. There's some guys in the back end that are pretty good. I mean, this is not a team. I mean, and I will say this. At the beginning of the year, Coach Muschamp talked about how, you know, and everybody alludes to it, he kind of made a mistake in coming out publicly by saying, this is my best team.
Got expectations up way too high.
Because now you can't retract that.
Right.
Now, no matter if the world falls apart and every starter gets hurt, you can't retract saying this is our best team. Now, look.
Because your number two is supposed to be just as good because we have the best depth we've ever had.
And now you're losing to App State. And I know South Carolina people can't stomach that. You know, this thing got off to a bad start against North Carolina when Mukamu missed literally the interception. I think it was like a 3rd and 20, and he played it perfectly. He's getting ready to intercept the ball. The ball literally goes right through his hands and into the North Carolina receiver's hands, and North Carolina ends up scoring and then goes ahead and wins the game. That one play kind of summed up the Gamecocks season. And then they ran into that schlub of a team that for some crazy reason people think's good, and that's Georgia. Okay? But let me tell you something. The committee, they have to not know what a football is. Because any team that lost to South Carolina does not deserve to be in the college football playoff.
They know a lot more about marketing than they know about football. And that's all this playoff is. It's all a marketer's wet dream. How can we set this up so we get the most possible eyeballs? Because guess what? We could get the Atlanta market in there. We could get the Columbus market in there. We could get all the rest of, you know, they're like, we don't want to put Clemson in there, but we're going to have to. And then we can get the entire New Orleans market in there.
Well, this notion about the perception that, well, Georgia deserves to be there because they beat Florida. So what? Who the heck is Florida? And Georgia's offense is as anemic as South Carolina's. The only difference is they're winning those 17 to 14 games. They're winning. Now, the one they didn't win was against South Carolina.
They had opportunities to walk out with a win in that game if the kicker could hit anything.
And couldn't do it. Okay, and left the door open. Well, you had your chance. Goodbye, go away. And now the committee is wanting, and I'm telling you right now, I am not going to be astonished that Georgia gets beat by Texas A&M this week at all. Because I think Jimbo Fisher finally, look, A&M had some injuries early on in their season, as every football team does. And then now, coming into this game, they found their running game. Texas A&M can run the ball. And I know everybody's poo-pooing on South Carolina that they're not very good, but I tell you what is good, that front seven. And that whole game swung when T.J. Brunson got kicked out for targeting. That totally swung the momentum of that game, and it allowed them to pick on a redshirt freshman linebacker that had never been in there before. And now you're on the road against Kellen Mond and those guys. And I'm not saying Jimbo's got A&M turned, but I'm telling you right now, I think the spread is like 20-something points. If I was a betting man, I'm mortgaging the house. I'm putting the kids on the Craigslist. I'm doing whatever it takes to come up with as much money as I can, and I'm putting it on Texas A&M because there's no way Georgia's going to cover that. None. And I'm not so sure that they're even going to win the game. You know, and right now, everybody's talking about Ohio State, LSU, of course, Clemson. Don't even get me started over the fact that they've got a team that's won. Clemson's won how many games now? 25 in a row? They're the defending national champions, and the committee's got them at third?
Yeah, but 10 of those wins is all that matters.
That's it. But it doesn't matter if they just keep winning. That's all they've got to do.
I wish we could say 10 of those wins is all that matters. However, we know that historical bias means something when it comes to college football playoff rankings.
Yes, it does.
And it matters what your team's done over the last 5 years. It shouldn't matter, but it apparently does.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of discussion right now about Oregon and Utah. And the truth of the matter is, they've both got one loss. Oregon got beat by an average Auburn team who they should have beat. Okay? Oregon should have won that football game. And they couldn't because of the last 2.5 minutes. They kind of wet the bed a little bit. But Oregon mopped the field with Auburn for three and three quarters of a game. And then allowed Malzahn to pull one out of his hat there at the end of the ball game on that deep ball, which to this day I don't know how that kid completed that. But Oregon's, I mean, it's hard. The Pac-12 is so terrible that, I mean, people talk about how bad the ACC is, and it is. But the Pac-12 is possibly worse. Now, the team they better hope doesn't get into the playoff is Utah. Now, I don't think Utah's resume is enough to get them in with that one loss. I think if Utah was undefeated, won the conference championship game, they would be a shoe-in to get into the playoff. But I think there's just too many things going on. And look, it's going to be awfully difficult. We've seen this in years past where the top four or five teams that are undefeated finish that way. It almost never happens. I mean, Alabama's practically out of it, and now that Tua is done for his career down in Tuscaloosa, they may not even win the Iron Bowl. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. Welcome back into this Monday edition of Straight Up with Sturge. I am Josh Phillips sitting in for Mark Sturgis. Mark having a whole litany of things going on at the moment. We need to hurry and get him back. Most definitely. Catching up on Diesel, have I missed anything in sports the last 4.5 months I've been gone?
You missed quite a bit.
Have I?
A lot going on with the NFL. There's a lot going on, you know, with do you even remember the AB situation? The helmet situation? Is that kind of the last thing you remember?
Yes, Antonio Brown.
Who's now trying to get back into the league and trying to discredit the lady that the female that accused him, and that's just a big ugly mess.
Yeah, and he probably needs to send Colin Kaepernick a thank you card for kind of taking the spotlight off of him. I think I've said all my piece. I've said about that Kaepernick situation. I mean, it's obvious that. Here's the thing that pains me about that situation is he is using a real life situation to try and manipulate his own financial gain. And to me, that's about as low as you can get. Now, let me preface this by saying the things that he's saying and trying to bring to the forefront, I give him credit for saying it But see, I'm a person of what's the matter of his heart? Is he doing this because he's really trying to make a difference, or is he doing it to try to put money in his pocket? Because people will do things for people with not their best interest in mind, even though what they're doing is good. And I think that whole situation has come to fruition over the way he handled the workout.
I think he's trying to brand himself rather than fight for actual change.
Well, here's the thing, and the argument that I've used with this situation is when he first started this, I tried to take a step back, fight through the emotions of it, and say, okay, let me try to hear this guy. You know, because here's how you tell when somebody's genuine. Their actions will back up their words. Here's a case in point. Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali believed in and saw things that he knew needed to be changed. And he believed those things so strongly, he was willing to give up his livelihood and even go to jail for those convictions. So his words backed up, or his actions backed up his words. That's not what we're seeing out of the Kaepernick camp. And there's no way, especially after what just happened with the workout. I mean, you're going to call a workout, which, hey, great. I'll never get mad for a guy trying to get money unless he's trying to do it on the backs of people he don't need to do it with. And see, here's the thing that galls me about the guy. The very people he's trying to help, he's doing the same thing. He's talking about oppressing when he is an oppressor. But you can't say that.
Well, my biggest problem with his methods is he's trying to use public sentiment to bully owners and coaches into giving him a job into the league. He had an opportunity. What was it? 24 out of the 32 teams would have been represented at this private workout, which is the way the NFL does things. And if he really wanted to get back into the NFL, he would have played by their rules, which playing by the rules just means showing up where we already scheduled the thing with the video crews that we have in place, that we're going to send taped out to all the teams, even the ones who didn't show up to this meeting, and everything's going to be fine. Instead, he wanted to move it somewhere else. He wanted to be able to broadcast the thing on YouTube because he wants public sentiment to pressure coaches and owners into giving him a job. And these guys are not going to bow to that kind of public pressure. These guys are billionaires. They are sharks who are not afraid of public pressure.
Yeah, he's trying to play the leverage game with people that are exceptionally gifted at using leverage. And he's, quite honestly, I think he's run out of time. I'll be the first one to say, if the guy can play, hey, put him on the field. Look, the NFL is not bashful about putting people
no.
on the field. Aaron Hernandez. Now, that's an extreme case.
Sure.
Okay, Tyreek Hill. Okay.
Peterson back on the field, even after his turmoil.
After his stuff. So, there's a lot of things. Great things about football. My thing is be genuine in what you're doing. Okay? Let your actions back up your words. And you won't have a problem with me. At all. Go, hey, great. How can I help? How can I help? Don't wear socks that has cops as pigs. But let me help you with that PR stunt that you pulled. Okay? But then you do get the workout that you wanted in front of every NFL team. See, here's where he doesn't get it. He had his opportunity. And see, this is where the actions don't back up the words. So now he's got every NFL team coming to watch him. So what does he do? He uses that to say, I'm going to do this and move it because I really want to be in control. And I think only 8 teams showed up, And they basically just said, okay, we're seeing through your little manipulation game here, and we're through with it. And to me, that's sad. Because the things that the guy is bringing up are legitimate and need to be discussed and need to be focused on and need to be fixed. And I hope that somebody else will bring up that mantle and take care of those things. College football games is coming up this weekend. When we come back, I'm going to tell you who to take, who not to take, and what to expect. This is Straight Up with Sturge. Welcome back into the final segment of the first hour. This is Josh Phillips sitting in for on Straight Up with Sturge. Let me welcome in Caroline to the show. Caroline, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. What do you think of this sports talk stuff? Have you, you've been doing several shows?
I have. I started off with Lonzo and Mark Ryan, and then I was here with Diesel yesterday.
Are they, do you keep track of sports? Do you like sports? Is it just a lot of noise and you're worried about the board and could care less?
Yes and no.
To which questions?
I try to pay attention to sports, but most of the time I don't. But I was raised as a Georgia Bulldog
In a Georgia Bulldog family. She's not happy with me right
so
now.
So I was trying to keep my mouth shut when you were
talking earlier. Say something. I don't want you to keep your mouth shut.
But I don't know anything. Talk. I don't really know anything about this season, so there's really nothing for me to say. So I would just be, I wouldn't go anywhere with it.
Well, Caroline, first of all, welcome to Intercom ESPN Upstate. You're doing a great job. You got a great teacher.
Trust me, not knowing what you're talking about has never stopped any of us.
No, it has not. No, or any of our listeners, I can guarantee you that. But Caroline's doing a great job. Her aforementioned Georgia Bulldogs right now, I believe they are ranked fourth in the college football playoff committee rankings. I'm going to look that up just to make sure. And there's a much debate about how that's going to parlay itself out. And is there a way for Alabama, and should Alabama be at number five? I think that's another discussion. Milton Skelton got in with me on Twitter and made reference to the fact he's a Georgia fan, which that's fine. Made reference to the fact that if Georgia wins out, they will be in the college football playoff. And he's absolutely correct. With that assessment. Now, you can't lose another one or you're done. But that's anybody right now with one loss, including Alabama. But right now, Alabama's situation with the Tua hip injury, they're trying to figure out if they can win this thing with Mac Jones as a redshirt freshman quarterback. Is he going to be able to win the Iron Bowl and get Alabama? I'm not worried about Western Carolina. I mean, Alabama should be able to take care of Western Carolina, just like Auburn's playing Samford. So I have no problem with that. Both of those teams are gearing up right now to get ready. Look, they're using this week and next week to prepare for each other. And, you know, they can get on there and talk about how they're focused on Western Carolina and they're focused on Samford. And that is not true. They are already doing preliminary work on each other for the Iron Bowl in 2 weeks. That's just the nature of it. Because literally, if Alabama and Auburn can't just throw the jersey out there and beat those two, then they don't need to be involved in the discussion anyhow. Nothing against Western Carolina, nothing against Samford, but they're going to be outmanned. And that's there's just no way around that. As we look across the rankings, you know, the thing that intrigues me is Ohio State. The Buckeyes right now, number two, I believe LSU is number one. Ohio State's number two, Clemson's three, Georgia's four. And Georgia just has to keep winning. And it doesn't matter the way it looks. Just keep getting the W. Now, they've looked bad and they've played bad. And their defense has bailed their offense out a lot this year. And they're probably going to have to do it again against Texas A&M. And again, I'm not to the point to say that Georgia is going to lose this game, but I'm telling you this, they're not going to cover the spread. And I don't know if there's shenanigans going on out in Las Vegas. I don't know if somebody knows something that I don't. I don't know what the heck's going in, but I don't know where the heck they got that spread from. And this week, I think there's a lot of opportunity for people if you pay attention to what's going on. So, but Georgia and Texas A&M, that game, that's going to be a 10-7 point game either way. I mean, that game's going to go into the fourth quarter. The other games around Penn State and Ohio State, very interesting game. Penn State's kind of like Georgia this year. They're just kind of winning and winning ugly. They've got an outstanding defense. Ohio State has just rolled. But haven't we seen this before from the Buckeyes? I mean, it seems like when Ohio State is good, they run roughshod through their schedule, and then they get into the playoff, and they either win the national title or they get blown out like they did against Clemson. There's not really a happy medium there. So I'm going to be interested to see. The one impressive thing about Ohio State that lets me know that they are a good football team, a solid football team, a team that could potentially go to the college football playoff and potentially win the national championship, is they're doing what good teams should do. And that means teams they have over outmatched and outmanned, they beat up. They're beating them bad. They're not having close losses, or they're not even having close wins. They're blowing teams out that they should blow out. That's number one. Number two, against similar type teams like Wisconsin, they're handling them with relative ease. And to me, Penn State is the first legitimate defense that Ohio State has faced all year. And Ryan Day has done a phenomenal job with this club. Coming off the Justin Fields transfer, coming off the fact that the whole Urban Meyer situation where they really didn't know how that transition was going to go, which players, they lost Nick Bosa, who sat out literally half of all last year. And then what's that transition going to be like? And I'm shocked that more people are not talking about Ryan Day. And look, I understand why people are talking about LSU, and I understand why people are talking about Clemson. But to not talk about Ryan Day and Ohio State and the job that he's done, especially if they go ahead and run the table, which they should do, and get to the college football playoff. But again, we've seen teams get into the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th week undefeated, and then all these crazy things start to happen. A football is not a tennis ball. It bounces funny. And when you start adding pressure to the mix with 18 to 22-year-olds, there's no telling what's going to happen. And I'm excited for it because this is the best time in college football is as we get closer to who's going to make the college football playoff. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.